Do humor and satire belong in leadership? Today's guest certainly thinks so. This week's episode features a discussion with a prolific military blogger and fellow podcast host, Inger Staff Officer. Be ready for a little laughter and discussion on why military leaders need humor in their kit bag. This is the Leaders Huddle Podcast, episode number 29, Humor and Leadership, a conversation with Inger Staff Officer. Welcome to the Leaders Huddle Podcast. Through this podcast, our goal is to educate and inspire the current generation of company-grade officers through advancing the discussion of leadership, professionalism, and building high-performing organizations. Before we welcome on our guests, I want to introduce a new co-host and associate producer to the podcast, Captain Zach Mirova. Zach is currently studying organizational psychology at Teachers College in Columbia University with a follow-on assignment at West Point. A fellow blogger, Zach's work has been featured on From the Green Notebook, Major Joe Byler's blog. Zach, welcome in. We're really excited to have you as part of Leaders Huddle team.
Thanks, David. Very excited to be a part of the family here and look forward to fostering the profession.
Today, we're going to be doing something a little different on the Leaders Huddle. We're honored to have with us infamous blogger and fellow podcaster, Inger Staff Officer. He describes himself as an on-again, off-again Inger Staff Officer who made the odd jump from enlisted infantry to engineer officer and is now meandering the warrens of Army doctrine, one dog-eared page at a time. He is a member of the Military Writers Guild and continues to be one of the most active members of the greater military writing community. Inger Staffer, or Staffer, if that's what I can call you, is there anything else you'd like to add to your bio?
No, I think you pretty much covered it all there. At least that's what we can put on paper.
Excellent. You know. Well, Staffer, as a follower of your blog for a number of years and a fellow Star Wars enthusiast, I'd like to equate your blog to that of Yoda's teachings. You speak in cryptic riddles with truly meaningful messages. How do you see your role in this capacity, and how do you feel that humor adds to the Army and leadership in general?
Well, so first off, I appreciate the reference to me as Yoda, although I hope that I'm kind of a somewhat better communicator than he was, because let's be honest, he really just, if he'd just shown like a family tree to Luke in Empire Strikes Back, we pretty much wouldn't have needed a third movie. But anyway, it's funny that you mentioned my writing as fitting a specific role, because I never really meant for it to do so. I started writing because if I didn't, I was going to staple my hand to my desk in the S3 out of frustration at staff work. But as time's gone on, I'd like to think that I've created a space where I and other writers can kind of poke fun at ourselves while also debating critical topics in our profession. And we've already got some really great professional writing venues out there, like the Strategy Bridge, War on the Rocks, Small Wars Journal, etc. And I'll be honest, the folks who write there for those publications are way smarter than I am. So I'm just hoping to kind of bridge the gap between them and, say, the Duffel blog. Because really, you know, if we don't laugh at ourselves and take a moment to see some of the absolutely ludicrous parts of our profession, we kind of run the risk of taking ourselves too seriously. And then we lose any type of connection between the public that we serve and then each other as well.
In my career, I've served in armor and cavalry organizations, which had a lot of esprit de corps, which obviously bred extremely professional NCOs and soldiers who made it their job to exert their experience and knowledge on the young officers such as myself by playing tricks on them. I've seen lieutenants searching for grid squares, cam light batteries, and testing exhaust samples, to name a few things. How do you think this impacts the climate of an organization?
Yeah, so I recall a time when I was little E4 Angry Staff Officer, and my E6 squad leader told me to go request a map and a box of grid squares from a no less than a SF lieutenant colonel who we were working for at the time. And so I walked up, I requested the map from the O5 and casually mentioned the grid squares, and he laughed a lot and then told me a story about the time when he was a lieutenant and been sent out to change the air in a Humvee. So it's really a time-honored tradition that helps leaders to remember that we always need to be learning and that we're not infallible, all-knowing gods of the battlefield. That is, if it's done in a climate where good-natured joking can take place. If it's done with animosity, then it's just stupid and not really helping anyone.
So, hey, let's be blunt. Army doctrine can be boring at times, and often it's difficult to struggle through the pages of an Army regulation, a technical, especially a technical manual, a field manual, or a ADP, in order to educate yourself. You often use history, national security, and frequently Star Wars, and I've seen a couple posts of The Office tied to doctrine. How do you think this helps your audience relate to the information and connect to organizational setting in terms of leadership or organizational development?
Well, Star Wars, TV, all that really ties us to a common language. So doctrine's supposed to be the common language that we have in the military. But sometimes that common language just grows more and more confusion, creates more and more confusion. So tying together popular culture like Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, my brave efforts to try to tie in more Arrested Development quotes to a society that doesn't want to hear anything more about Arrested Development, all of that is done in an effort to create another common language, or bridge the gap, rather, between the common languages. And so to that end, that's why I'll go ahead and I'll go down the road of fiction, or I'll explore topics that maybe are not what you'd say, you know, what you first think of when you think Army doctrine, because we have to be able to communicate with each other. We have younger soldiers who are learning. We've got brand new lieutenants who are learning this stuff. And I remember as a brand new lieutenant, when somebody shoved doctrine in my face and said, "Hey, all of the answers that you're asking me, they're all in here. Now go read it." And I was like, "I have no idea what I'm looking at, but this is a lot of reading." Since then, I've found that Control F is your friend, and that you can actually find doctrinal lessons pretty much everywhere else in life. So it's really a way to bridge that gap.
I'm a huge student of leadership and trying to figure out how to give a good public speech when you watch like a TED Talk, and there's so many speakers or podcasters and just thinkers out there that say you've really got to try to connect with your audience through a story. So that's what I really appreciate about some of your work, especially with the Star Wars stories or your really in-depth work on history. So I found follow-up question. I found throughout my time as an officer that self-deprecating sense of humor is a great way to relate to soldiers. They'll even try and egg you on when you make fun of yourself, or you just, as we talked about earlier, being mindful of not taking yourself so seriously. So what are your thoughts as using humor as a leadership tool, and specifically being able to connect with your subordinates?
Yeah, as I kind of alluded to earlier, humor is what keeps us grounded, keeps us close to reality, and keeps us sane. It also really helps soldiers survive the never-ending briefings that we subject them to. Also helps keep them awake. It creates a shared sense of trust in an organization as well, where soldiers actually feel like they can belong, which can in turn result in greater retention, because, you know, we do everything for readiness. And I'm not even kidding about that. We do. We want to have a ready force. And nobody wants to work for someone who takes themselves too seriously all the time. We've all seen those types of leaders, and they're incredibly difficult to work for. Ours is an incredibly serious profession, but we shouldn't take ourselves too seriously, which is why I love things like the Duffel Blog or the Doctrine Man comics, TV shows MASH, and the sadly canceled show Enlisted. I'm still mad at Fox about that one.
Amen there.
But, you know, those show the side of the Army that we all know is there. But the public, the civilians that we serve, they don't always see that side. And that's the side that's highly relatable to them. So in an age where the civilian-military divide seems to be more prevalent than ever, the more that we can do to show that we are their army, the better, I think.
I couldn't agree more. It's so incredibly important for leaders not to take themselves too seriously. It really is a great way to relate to soldiers simply by making fun of yourself. I've seen the broken sprocket, the rusty spur, name your kind of, quote unquote idiot award. It really helps to humanize us as leaders instead of just being stone-faced executors of policy. Really helps us relate, utilizing our very unique sense of weird humor.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
All right, we're going to do something a little different today. Let's go ahead and get into some rapid-fire questions. Are you ready?
Oh, boy.
Number one, favorite Star Wars character?
Oh, my God. Originals, R2-D2. And I would say out of the new films, K2SO. Is it bad that my favorite characters are droids?
I think that speaks to your personality. Least favorite Star Wars character, and you can't use Jar Jar Binks.
Anakin Skywalker, hands down. He's right. never-ending teenage angst. Like, it grates on my very existence. He's like a second lieutenant who thinks he's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs.
All right, what is your most frequently shared funny story with subordinates?
A repeatable one. Oh, okay.
I'm public consumption.
Right, okay. All right, so in the vein of not taking oneself seriously, probably it's this time in Afghanistan. I was standing in the hallway of the talk, looking like a complete moron, probably reading something on the wall. And my brigade commander like pops out of the middle of nowhere, looks me up and down, looks at my hair, which at that time was definitely pushing the limits of 670-1, and said something like, "Damn, you look like that captain who was just awarded the Medal of Honor." Which would be Captain Will Swenson, who had some seriously amazing long officer hair when he received the Medal of Honor back in, I think it was 2012, 2013, to which I immediately responded with an exuberant, "Thank you, sir," which he didn't think was very funny. And I learned, not for the last time, that humor, I guess, does have its time and place.
Favorite historical event?
That's like impossible. That's like asking Anthony Bourdain for his favorite food. Probably gut instinct says Gettysburg, simply because I fell into fascination with it as a kid and it hasn't really ever let up, even though I'm currently drifting into World War I right now because it's so cheerful.
Favorite fictional historical event?
Oh, too easy. Battle of Hoth. As an engineer, it's a set piece engagement that can be dissected down into tactical terms. And in fact, when I'm teaching obstacle integration and engagement area development, I usually talk about Hoth as an example of how not to do it, of course.
Everyone's favorite question, what is your favorite piece of Army doctrine?
There is no such thing as good doctrine. I'm just kidding. I love doctrine writing. All doctrine writers are great. Honestly, as an engineer, FM 5-34 is out of date very badly, but it's the one that I still carry with me. So that probably means it's my favorite, but most commonly used ADRP 1-02, because who the hell can remember every single map symbol out there?
Certainly can't go wrong with FM 5-34. So what's the best part about being a staff officer?
I think that's probably the constant pain that it brings, that it always makes us strive to escape back into the line units, which in turn makes us produce better products. In all honesty, probably being able to see everything that goes into creating a mission or a process is pretty satisfying if you're working on a good staff when everything is clicking on the occasion that that does happen.
Anything else you'd like to share with the audience?
Yeah, I guess just this, like if you're in a position of leadership, remember that you've been given the trust of leading America's daughters and sons. And I can't really think of a more serious responsibility. And you therefore have a real chance to make a difference by providing them a model to emulate. And so never lose sight of the soldiers in our organization, no matter how high you may rise within the organization. I say this because I might call myself angry, but in reality, and here I'll just destroy all my street cred forever, I'm not really that angry. Where I do get upset is when I see that which our organization stands for being twisted or even tossed aside. Like, we really need to stick to our core Army values and provide our soldiers with the leadership that they deserve. The Army isn't perfect, but the idea of the Army, I often say that I love the idea of the Army, that's the idea that we need to always be striving for. So whether you take that approach with a sense of humor or with a more serious mentality, just embrace that. I think that's, if anything, that's the point that I try to get across as much as I can in my writing.
So, Stafford, before we close out the podcast episode, I'd love for you to talk about your other venture with Adkin Dopkin, who's also a Military Writers Guild member, on you're coming upon your year, right? About the year anniversary on the War Stories podcast. But can you talk about the podcast in general?
Yeah, actually, yeah, it has been. It's almost been a year. That's crazy. So yeah, War Stories turned into something that we're really proud of and love doing, and kind of came out of left field, and we didn't really expect it. Basically, we kind of fooled around with the idea of what happens if you take a specific piece of military tech or doctrine and you follow it through history through the eyes of the people using it. So you're getting like a macro view and down to a micro view that connects you to the human being that's on the that's interacting with that piece of equipment or on the battlefield. So season one was tanks. I got way closer to armor than I ever thought I'd get, even after being an enlisted mech infantryman. So that was kind of cool, learning how warfare changes and adapts. It's really fascinating. And it helps you get a better idea of why we do things the way that we do today. And so right now we're currently working on season two. And I can't tell you what it's about because that would ruin the secrecy of the big secret. But we can't wait to unleash that on you later this year.
So Zach and I are definitely really looking forward to listening to some of the future episodes. Do you guys, when you were starting the new podcast, I'm curious where you found your inspiration? And secondly, do you guys listen to Dan Carlin's Hardcore History? I mean, he is the gold standard. Like, his episodes are incredible. I mean, they're 6 hours long, but...
I knew that question was coming. Everyone always asks about Dan Carlin. Yeah, it's intense. We originally, I kind of looked at that model and was like, huh, I wonder if we can get this to work. That proved to be really like, he puts in an amazing amount of time and effort that I can't even begin to replicate. Our model, I don't know exactly where our model came from. Like, it's a combination, I think, of like Fresh Air or something on NPR and Shelby Foote's narrative history of the Civil War. Like, we listen to a couple different podcasts, but I like to think that the style that we kind of latched onto is our own, rather than something that we took from somewhere else. And really, it just it created itself. The first episode was a lot of trial and error with some interesting learning curves, but we sort of adapted that as we have gone on, and I think it I think it's coming out pretty well, and I'm pretty excited for future episodes.
So we truly appreciate you taking the time to speak with us today and for everything you do to bring some humor to our lives. We're a very serious business, as we talked about. And if it wasn't for the military's very special brand of humor, Zach, and I would think we'd agree that we'd all go a little crazy. And I personally, I had not, when you had mentioned earlier about the importance of understanding the idea of the Army and the true opportunity that we get to lead America's sons and daughters and not taking ourselves too seriously. I thought that was a really interesting connection that I had not heard before.
Well, I really appreciate you guys bringing me on today. I had a blast, and I look forward to seeing all the great things that you guys do, and keep it up. We really appreciate it.
And hey, thank you so much. It's been an honor and a privilege to speak with you today. And really, I'm one step closer to completing my bucket list after having been retweeted by Dr. Mann and officially been able to meet the angry staff officer. Thank you.
Someday I'll invade Hudson and go climb the cliffs like Benedict Arnold planned to and have a beer with you guys.
So that wraps up this week's episode with the angry staff officer. We apologize for some of the audio issues, but we hope it didn't detract from the message. We owe you guys some push-ups. Our next discussion focuses on the topic of emotional intelligence and leadership. Be sure to check it out. Until next time, this is Leaders Huddle Podcast, signing off.